Hello and welcome to Liner Down Left. I am your host, Delon Poe, alongside of me, my co-host,
Leah Chocolis. Ian Kish.
And we are going to be breaking down the entire season of the women's softball team so far. Guys, your thoughts so far?
They're 6-20. But one thing I want to point out are the losses in the seventh inning. They had a lead. I counted four of them, which would then put their record at 11-16, or 10-16, if they would have won that.
So their record would be much more good-looking, to put it, if they, you know, finish the games. And also the times that they've been shut out, except for, like, the big games against Michigan and Notre Dame. Niagara should have been a win. Cleveland State, Canisius should have been a win. Kent State, they won, you know, 4-0 against Lafayette. Put up some points, you know, you help yourselves out. But then you look at the games that they lost in the Mercy Rule, 14-0, the Coastal Carolina, 13, they won 13-4 to Rider. They, you know, once had the Mercy Rule in their favor. And then Ball State, 8-0 loss, 6 innings, and just games, you know. And when you there was a game recently when they were in Florida, let me find it, they put up 12 runs and lost. I mean, that, yeah, they lost to Delaware 12-10. That just can't happen.
It looks like they're not trying. It's like, I don't know, like these, the scores of the games are kind of ridiculous for.
I mean, I understand the losses to Notre Dame. I mean, you're not going to, yeah, they beat, I believe it was Minnesota a couple years ago, but that's also a whole point of non-conference, is to see if you can go up against Notre Dame's pitching, Michigan's pitching, Coastal Carolina's pitching, you're going to be able to go up against NEC pitching, which in the NEC you'll come across 2, maybe 3 good pitchers that are, you know, that can control the game and be the top pitcher for their teams. You're not going to find that with every NEC school. You're going to find that with, you know, St. Francis. They're going to come at you offensively. Their first conference game of the season on March 30th in a little less than a week or so. So, yeah, I mean, those are my impressions, that they could have a much more respectable record right now if they just won the games they lost in the seventh inning.
Yeah, I mean, some of these scores – are close, like Tuesday, March 6th, they lost 4-5, and then 0-2. Like, I feel like they need to, like you said, like, kind of stick together.
I agree to that, but how many of those games have they lost by one run, and how many of them have blown it in the seventh inning when it comes to them? I don't think they put the pedal to the metal enough, and they just kind of gave up when it comes to, like, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh inning.
It looks like against Stetson in the second doubleheader against them, or second game of a doubleheader, RMU was up 4-2. Yeah. And then going in 4-3 in the seventh inning and couldn't get the job done. Caitlin Clark took the loss. She moved to 0-1 in that game. But, again, you know, the Colonials put up, they did all their scoring between the first and third innings, mm-hmm. Nothing, 4-7. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to work. You put up 5 hits, 3 errors doesn't help you out in that game. But you put up 5 hits through, you know, but only got, you know, 4 runs on 5 hits. Yeah, that's good production, but that production wasn't seen innings 4-7.
Yeah, I need to be consistent through it.
But you know what I find interesting? Abrielle McCartney and Natalie Higgins have 26 and 27 home runs on the year with a 421 and 488 slugging percentage, and both of them are around in their 300s in their batting averages.
Yeah.
Like, that shows that they have some offense, but I don't know where that offense is coming from, because it just seems like they're not being productive. I mean, the 27 and 26 home runs are impressive, but when it's not with pace with people on, that's a problem.
You see, yeah, you have McCartney and Higgins who are hitting in the 300s with McCartney with a 356, which looks phenomenal on paper. And she's on base, her on base percentage is at 392 right now. That's great, but you need to be hit home.
Exactly.
You need to find, you know, she can get on base. Her teammates need to bring her, you know, bring her around. And the on base percentages, top five aren't terrible. They're all over 345 with McCartney and Brianna Booner leading the way in the top two. But then, you know, runs batted in. You have Olivia LaRusso, has 14, McCartney with 13, Natalie Higgins with 10, Bridget Gagne with 8, and then two players are tied at 7. You need more players to be, you know, bring the runs in. But again, this team is usually a team that struggles through non-conference. That's kind of why, you know, you see Coach Coleman schedule those games and the coaching staff schedule those games to get you experience against ACC teams. There's no NEC team close to a Notre Dame, to an ACC school, but it helps you because, like I said, you're not going to see ACC pitching, ACC hitting in the NEC.
But, you know, the Colonials took a really big hit when they lost Brianna Bunner to an ankle injury. So she's out for, I think, the rest of the season. I'm not entirely sure. We haven't been confirmed with that. And I don't know. I think they have another player that's injured. I don't know who that is, but she – I recently saw her on crutches, but we haven't been confirmed. So they're already down two players, and I don't know how they're going to come back from that.
And it's only like the tournament season. It's not even like the real season yet.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of terrifying in a way.
Yeah, and in non-conference, I mean, yeah, you went 6-20, but that all, so far you're 6-20 with a few more games left. That all goes away, and you start your season off or where you began at 0-0 heading into conference play, because your overall record doesn't get you into the NCAA tournament. It's your winning your conference that gets you in to the tournament. So in we've seen the Colonials. I mean, last year was, you know, even a downer year for them, where, you know, they would put up a game where you're like, okay, this team is really dominant. Next game, in a doubleheader, 45 minutes later, you're like, where's that team we just saw play?
Yeah.
And we see the opposite when they came out of the second game of a doubleheader looking phenomenal. You're like those are some major adjustments that were made, obviously. But then when they face some of the same pitching.
But that all comes with consistency. I mean, they have at least three pitchers that are juniors on the team. They should be stepping up more. You don't want them to have five-something ERAs, especially, I mean, I know they have a couple of freshmen, and that's usual for freshmen. They're starting to get used to collegiate level, and you're basically just throwing them into the fire. But having juniors that have ERAs up like 4, 5, and 3, that's not what they need. They need the pitchers to really lay down the law, make sure the pitchers are moving smoothly, moving through the zone, and basically tricking the hitters into swinging at them.
They have to work as a team. They can't work individually on their certain play.
And they've been outscored a lot this season. Putting it nicely. I don't have their stats right in front of me now, but I know they've been outscored by a lot.
I can find it.
Those stats in front of me. They've been outscored by innings. Actually, they've been they've allowed 165 runs opposed to them scoring 81. That is a huge step between their opponents and them.
Another thing about this team is they're very young, they're not young. I mean, they're very. They're older. I mean, you have McCartney, you have LaRusso as a senior. They only have one freshman who can play this year because the other one's redshirted.
Yes.
Which is, you know, last year they had They had a youthful team. They had a ton.
They have a big class of sophomores, but do we really see the maturity from the sophomores? I'm not seeing it so far, but I'm very optimistic for the team going into NEC play. Their first game is against St. Francis, which is this week. They actually have three games coming up, and we'll see if they take back those wins.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of sophomores, you have Madison Riggle, who I think she's going to be used like she was last year, but your top pitchers are going to be Caitlin Elzey and Lacey Collins. But then you have Lauren Coulter, but I see her coming in as more of a relief person. And, you know, we've seen Lacey struggle. I think hopefully in her junior year she can put some of her, you know, youthful mistakes behind her. But, again, this pitching staff, it's Caitlin Elzey's staff. Because we'll see her start a game, and then we'll see her start the second game of doubleheader. Or we'll see someone else start, but then she'll come in relief if she doesn't reach her, you know, her max and what the coaching staff and what the NCAA regulations are. So I think hitting wise, I think we'll be fine. To me, it's pitching.
Yes, I think they need to mix up their pitchers a little bit and really teach their pitchers to be different from each other, but also be in the same and different from each other at the exact same time. You never want a pitching staff that's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. That's how you get killed. But if you have a pitcher that's those softer pitch but moves the ball really well, and then you have your hard thrower that just pounds it right into the zone, that's the nice balance you need.
Yeah. I mean, the best part about this, though, is it's preseason kind of, so maybe they're going to get all their kinks out now and, get during their slumps now and then wait for the season to come. But, I mean, if you were to become a sluggish, preseason is the time to do it. Because you want to, I mean, but then again, you also want to be ready for the season to start.
And what I'm noticing, just looking at the season stats so far, is they've had a lot of wild pitches and a lot of hit batters. Madison Riggle actually has 13 hit batters, and she also has 9 wild pitches. So that can accumulate to a lot of runs. They need to eliminate the free passes, get their pitches under control, and hit the zone hard and not try to dance around it. But you can dance around it with certain batters, but not the whole entire lineup.
Yeah. And I don't know who they've been playing so far. Sacred Heart right now is top in the conference with a 14-8 overall record. Of course, like I said, this doesn't matter because no one has conference games in yet. But out of 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Robert Morris is 7th with only 2 more wins over Fairleigh Dickinson and Bryant in the win column. And you have Will Wagner, this 4-10. This may very well be what they were predicted to finish in the conference, which isn't great, thinking how much confidence that, you know, that the NEC has. I mean, they're picked by the coaches. With the older players on this team, I mean, Colonial's not great.
They were actually – they're ranked second in –
No, they're in second.
Yeah, they're ranked second in the conference, but ranked 5th in batting average. When I spoke to Coach Coleman at the beginning of the season, before the season actually started, and I picked his brain about, like, what's going to happen with the season and how they've matured over the year and what is going to be a loss with their 4 seniors going out and how the team's just going to be – how the new dynamics is going to be. And that is on rmucenturymedia.com, but not promoting myself. But so their first 3 games are the 25th of March, March 28th, and the 30th. They play Canisius, Penn State, and, as I said before, St. Francis. And St. Francis has recently played a nationally ranked NEC team, Arkansas, which, I mean, they lost to, but that's how – they need to play. They need to play at, like, where they need to be at, like, Alabama, Oklahoma kind of play, not like, not to sound mean or anything, not high school level. They need to be at that readiness and competitive, but not just kind of like laying back like, oh man, we lost another game, and they're on a 6-game losing streak right now.
Yeah,
they have to come back with, they have to come to these home stretch of the actual NEC play with fire in their eyes.
And it kind of feels like they're playing at like a high school level, but like this is college now. Like you need to really step it up and play your game.
I mean, I just think it's just a tough it's a tough schedule they've played. You know, that like go and see what other schools have been playing in the NEC. You know, who knows? Robert Morris, you know, this may be what they do. They get great, you know, experience against big top, you know, top major schools. When other schools, yeah, you're going to win. I mean, the NEC is not terrible in softball. So, yeah, you're going to win if you play D2 schools. You play, you know, teams in other conferences that aren't great. So to me, that also plays a big factor. Yeah, there should have been games. I thought when the season started this year, I thought they were going to play real well. Mm-hmm. And then they blew in games in the seventh inning, and that takes a toll. Like I said, they could be 11-16 right now with a much more respectable record.
But I respect Coach Coleman for taking the harder route. That's the experience.
Yeah,
that's the experience they need. And that's basically the slap in the face they need, being like, hey, this is what we need to work on. We need to get better at this, this, and this. I mean, also errors. Like, that's been their Achilles heel. They committed, I think, how many? They've committed at least 40. They've committed 43 errors this season so far. And their opponents have accumulated 31, but 43 errors in 20 games, yikes.
Yeah, like, do we feel like they're actually in game shape, right, ready? Like, are they conditioned well? I mean, that would, if I was a coach, I would be like, I want my players to be conditioned. And I mean, yeah, like Ian said, like the schedule isn't the greatest because it's like back to back to back to back. But at the same time, if you know that your schedule is going to be like that, shouldn't you be conditioned well?
Yes and no. You're never, as I used to play softball myself, you're never conditioned enough to get through. I mean, I played tournaments where you had 4 or 5 games in one day with an hour in between. That takes a toll on the body. Yeah. But as you said, you should be a little bit more conditioned because this is college play and you've played it. Basically, if you've played softball at least 10, 11, 12 years, your body should be used to it, but it's never, you're never fully prepared for it because it's mental, it's also physical also.
Yeah, but like any sport, like it's always both physical and mental.
I mean,
I think softball's more, I mean, yeah, you need fit, but like mental game can really cause it, and that may have been why they lost those games in the seventh inning. They may have been overthinking it. But when you go into the seventh inning with only being up one run, you can't have that mindset you're going to win because that's the easiest lead to lose.
In a personal opinion, like going into like the sixth to seventh inning when you're either down by a run, you're tied, or you're winning by a run, that is nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. And I can understand like them blowing it, but they shouldn't blow it because they have either the lead or they're so close they can't give up and cause costly errors, have the oopses in their minds. They need to stay focused and just grind it out.
Yeah, it's kind of like overthinking. Like, you don't want to overthink a play, especially, like, when you're so close to the end of the game.
And an honest opinion, I think the pitchers are overthinking it a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get through the 7 innings, especially if you come in relief and coming in, like, I don't know, like, coming in a relief is always a harder thing to do than starting the game because you have to pick up basically where that person left off and try to look different, mm-hmm. and get through the last 2-3 innings of the game without runs being scored.
Yeah, because if you come in the pitch, you know, to close out, say they bring in, you know, college softball, you don't really have a closer. It's kind of who's in relief that game. The Conios, you could see them use Kaylin Elzey if she's not starting because, you know, she has that dominant, you know, she's your dominant starter, which starters aren't closers, but they know that they can trust her to go in and close it. But I mean, you know, you leave one pitch over the plate.
Yes.
Game could be over.
You leave one hair of or one stitch over the plate and it's gone. And that's the worst feeling in the world to, you know, and honestly, like, the pitcher should know their pitches and they should know how to feel the snap off their wrist and off their fingertips and know if it's going to be hit, missed, or in between. And when it comes to going into relief, like, especially you want to use your whole entire staff, like, and not have to rely on that one person, because that one person can just take that can lead to further injuries. I mean, I know from experience, with getting tendonitis and having like rotator cuff surgery, like, those are forever injuries, mm-hmm. and you don't want to overwork somebody to a point where it's going to impact the team more than just impact a person.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you don't want to overwork somebody because it, like you said, can be dangerous to your team.
Yeah. But another thing that, you know, was frustrating, and I know I've covered games where they've had to cancel games, especially, you know, that St. Francis field they've had to cancel, is the way the current weather is, where one day can be 60, the next day you can be 8 inches of snow. Welcome to Pittsburgh.
Welcome to Pittsburgh weather.
And, you know, they play their games in the conferences is in, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, up in New England states, Connecticut, Rhode Island. So, you know, you can play a lot of your games. You know, right now they're scheduled to be done on when the spring semester is technically over on April 28th. But they'll be playing well, finishing up their schedule, because, knock on wood, they don't have to make up many games, but we'll know they'll be making up games and traveling a lot. They usually miss graduation because they'll be in the NEC tournament. So they have between April 28th and May 10th to make up those – well, all before May 10th to make up those games. And that's frustrating. You're ready to start – I think that's the most frustrating thing. Where we hope that, you know, March 30th against St. Francis doesn't get – that doubleheader doesn't get canceled to open up NEC play. But that's frustrating. You're ready to start a new slate in your season, and you have to wait. Then you have to wait until April 4th to even get back on the field against Niagara. And then you have to wait until that Saturday next – the following weekend to, you know, play Fairleigh Dickinson. That I know Coach Coleman, I've talked to him after games when they've canceled games. He's like, yeah, we got to cancel that St. Francis game. They already know that Wednesday their game's canceled for Saturday already, and that's frustrating.
And that also ruins your mental.
Yeah, that.
Thing.
And honestly, it doesn't give you the live pitching experience. I mean, you could do bullpen and shag balls to each other, like that kind of thing. But taking the game aspect out of it, like, you need that game experience and not have the long breaks, like the 2-3 week breaks in between, like, yeah. Just need to be on the go. But with the weather here, like Ian said, it could be like 50 degrees one day and we can be a foot of snow the next day.
And I hope they lived it up in Florida, because they came back and they played this past weekend in Ohio. Those most likely indoors.
Mm-hmm. The big dome.
But then, like, you can't practice on your home field until conference play starts.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's not ideal, but that's going to a school in Pittsburgh. I mean, a lot of schools have to deal with that. You have to hit – you can't, you know, hit live on a field. You got to hit in a cage in John Jay or the rec center.
John Jay would be interesting.
They have cages set up in the gym. I mean, mm-hmm. It's, like, basically like high school in a way. But that's how it is when you go to a school in, you know, eastern part of the country.
And you have your own challenges if you're, like, in a hotter place also. Like, you have to constantly water down the field, or you have, like, the huge amounts of rain. Like, that comes through the southern part of the U.S. But I was just looking at the season stats. They don't have many, like, sack bunts or sack flies. Like, you would think they would want more to push the runners across. Who, like, Kristen Prey has 5 sack bunts, and then the rest have, like, 2 and 1. But only 1 sack fly for Higgins, McCartney, and LaRusso. And there's not many stolen base attempts. There, only Olivia LaRusso has been successful with 2, and 5 other players have 1. So What that kind of tells me is they're being concerned about their runners, but they're not wanting to put pressure and try to look for those specific pitches to take off on. Like, my favorite pitch to take off on was when you know they're throwing a changeup, and you can just easily just slide in, and by the time the ball reaches the plate, you're halfway there.
Yeah.
But you can't – I can understand why they're being, more reserved with how they're running the bases, but you got to be aggressive. Like, even if it means you're going to get out, you got to show that aggression. You got to show that the other team that you're there to play and you're not taking
– And, I mean, especially with this team, with them being older, you know what the players are bringing. It's not like last year where you had to kind of dissect what your freshmen are going to bring, how you're going to use them. You know, do we use them as a pinch hitter or designated hitter? Do we put them in the field? And you kind of use the non-conference tournament part of your season as, you know, an experiment. Or this year you have a few players you may want to move around. But, like, I think Coach Coleman and the coaching staff went in with a plan, and I think what you're seeing now is what you're going to see in the NEC. But I think a lot of the confidence – you can go into a game against Michigan and Notre Dame and Penn State with confidence, but you go into a game against Fairleigh Dickinson, Bryant, you know, Central Connecticut State with a lot more confidence because it's going to be a lot more evened game.
Yes, and with the more even games, you want to be even more competitive than the not even games. Like, you don't want to have that cocky attitude, like, we're going to smoke you and – then you blow the game, in the end, or you get run ruled by the other team, and then you sit back at the end of the game, and we're like, wow, you actually got beat by this team where you should have won. Like how you were saying that they've blown the games in the seventh inning, those are the times where they should have mentally shut down and just focused and just looked at hit great pitches and run the bases really well.
They don't seem to have any confidence in themselves.
I don't think so, but I think they need to really take from the tournaments, the six or seven, how many, six tournaments they've been at?
One, two, three.
Like six, and five or six tournaments they've been so far. I mean, five. even though they didn't do exceptionally well, they need to take this as a stepping stone to, okay, we already know we lost two players. How are we going to replace them? How are we going to change the pitches? How are we going to move the ball and become more of a combined unit, but also a very intimidating team coming in? Like, you want to have a target on your back. Like, that's the best feeling in the world when you have a target on your back, even though it's super scary.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of want to have, like, a backup plan, per se, instead of...
Yeah. Nothing's worse when you go down a player and you don't have anybody else to replace them.
Yeah.
Basically, like, losing an outfielder, losing a very bright hitter in Brianna Bunner is a huge loss. Mm-hmm. But it's all how the team is going to bounce back from that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like they may have lost their confidence because of that. It's like, but then again, you also don't want to rely on, like, a good player because it's a team effort, not just one person.
All right, final thoughts, guys. So what are the thoughts of going into NEC play?
I mean, they have, scheduling a 4 games for NEC play. I see them splitting Canisius and losing both to Penn State, where next week, if we do, same time, same day next week, we can keep you updated and follow the games because it's a 5 p.m. start for the first game there at State College. So I think not going to be great. I have them losing against Penn State both games, so not great, you know, when you play your schedule to play your first NEC game 2 days later. But, yeah, I think Canisius is a game where we've seen them, you know, we saw them smoke and run roll them last season with only one game for some reason they played here. I think they're going to go 1-3 in their next 4 games. Isn't great, but I think, again, building that confidence against a bigger school like Penn State heading into St. Francis, where you get, but also when you look at St. Francis, as my final thoughts pretty long here, you get 2 games against them, and they're going to be one of the toughest teams you'll play. So you'll get with big hitters, the decent teams. Always for them, you'll get it out of the way. So if you do drop games there, you know you then have a couple of days later against Niagara, another non-conference, and then you do nothing but conference play from there on out. And you have Fairleigh Dickinson, Mount St. Mary's, and you have St. Bonaventure. So I'd lie, there is a couple more non-conference and the Youngstown State thrown in there. But I think that's good too. That throw those non-conference games in there. I think that's great on scheduling on Coach Coleman and the coaching staff. But then Fairleigh Dickinson and Mount St. Mary's, I think, are wins. LIU Brooklyn's usually a split. Sacred Heart, who looks pretty tough right now, 14-8 overall. I think, you know, you win two games there. I think this team can finish the top of the conference, honestly.
Leah?
Yeah. I just think that, like, they're getting all of their slump out now and waiting for that. I think they're going to be fine. I mean, they might lose the first game or two, like any team would do. But I feel like I kind of have to agree with Ian. I think they'll be fine.
My final thoughts are I want them to go into these eight double headers that they have over the next week and a half, 2 weeks with different mindsets for the game. Like if they win the first game, they need to be like, okay, now they know what we have and we need to change things up and look different, but also have the same game plan. I want them to basically go hard both games and then basically rewatch it and see what could have been better and what they could take away. But that is all the time we have. We will see you next week on Head Down the Line.